We try to have some fun when we can. 712, Joe Geruso joins us now, an Allen City Council member. Joe, I hope you had some fun over the 4th of July weekend, did you?
I did have fun. It was fun just being with my family and hanging out and doing things with them.
Yeah, enjoy that. Soon you'll get a letter about how you ruined their life. But that's, you know, don't worry about that now. I'm just kidding. Let's talk about the Wisner Trust. What's going on with that? For people that don't know what it is, give me a little backstory, a little context on this, and we'll talk about where we are now, which really has me baffled.
So the Wisner Trust is exactly what it sounds like. It is a trust created by a man named Edward Wisner in 1914, in which he placed a bunch of property that was ultimately to be for the benefit of the city of New Orleans 100 years later. So in 2014, all of that property was to come to the city. And in the interim, what happened was certain people, including Tulane Charity Hospital and later heirs, were beneficiaries of the trust and got revenue for years and years and years. And everybody was certainly very happy while all that happened. In 2014, Mitch Landrieu, the former mayor, took this issue to court and ruled that the trust was dead. The trust.
He took it to court with the goal of doing what?
I think it was with the. Counselor. I think there were two things that were sort of happening now. One was to determine that the trust was at its expiration, and then there was an open question about whether or not you needed an advisory council to move things forward with the trust.
Okay.
And if I remember correctly, the court ruled that whatever that group did, it had to be in public.
All right. So at that point, go ahead.
Well, at that point, there would have been sort of procedures to wind it down for reasons I don't understand. The trust sort of continued. There were memorandum of
understanding.
See,
let me interrupt for 1 second, if I might. Sure. Because that's what confuses me, because Mayor Landrieu goes to court to see if the trust had expired, and they ruled that it had, right? And that.
Right.
So at that point, the onus was on him to do whatever he had to do to dissolve it, right?
It was with that administration to start that process.
But he didn't.
Why? And it didn't. And I don't know why it didn't happen. And I don't know why in 2017 or 2018, I guess, when you got to the Cantrell administration, it didn't happen. 2019, it didn't happen. And then 2020 is sort of the next fateful date where Mayor Cantrell signed an agreement and, for the lawyers out there, executed what's called a ratification, an extension of the trust. That said, two things. Number one, the trust continued in perpetuity forever and ever. And then number two, this public counsel would now be private and the public wouldn't really get to see what was going on. And the counsel did not know about this until later and tried to figure out if there was a solution that didn't involve the courts, and ultimately sued to say, excuse me, a couple of things. Number one, that the administration could not just, or anybody else, could not spend the revenue money without council approval. We won on that. Number two, that the ratification agreement Mayor Cantrell signed was something called an absolute nullity, which just is fancy lawyer words for saying it could never, ever be viable because the trust had ended 6 years earlier. Mm-hmm. Number three, that the city was the owner of all of the property, and then we amended the petition for number four to say if people had gotten money out of the trust after 2014, that that belonged to the city, and we had the right to claw that money back. And so we've now won on the first three issues. Our lawyers filed a summary judgment on this last issue about the disgorgement of getting the money out. And I think, as you know, and we've talked about, Tulane, who is one of the parties to all of this, has settled with the council. And we're pretty much done with all the things that need to happen with them. We are at the 1 yard line, if not almost ball punched into the end zone with LSU. And we are going to, you know, probably formally announce all of that in very short order. And so, Tommy, what that does is it takes, remember, the city's percentage allegedly during the beneficiary stage was about 35%. Now takes the city's percentage to about 60% with both LSU and with charity. With Tulane. So what we've said now as a council is...
Wait. Hang on. I'm thoroughly confused now because Tulane and LSU, according to the court, has no right to this at all, and the council decided to settle with them and give them some of it or not?
Well, no. They gave their percentages to the city.
Okay.
So that's what happened.
Where did we get the 35 reason, and 60 then?
So the under the beneficiary scenario, the city had 35% of the beneficiary ownership or interest. Mm-hmm. And then Tulane and LSU had 12% each.
Okay.
And look, we've won at the district court level right now. We feel like we're going to win at the Supreme Court, but you never know. And we've always said, too, that we view particularly LSU and Tulane as our partners, not just from an optics perspective, but an actual economic one. And as long as a lawsuit was pending, it was going to be very difficult for us to do business with one another because Tulane wants to do the charity project. LSU has projects downtown it wants to do. And from the city's perspective, or from the council's perspective at least, if we weren't made whole on Wisner, then how do we go forward and do business with you at the same time?
All right, we got this text line here, Joe, for a second, if I can jump in, where people
sure.
text in. And look, I don't know who knows what, but I like to keep the audience involved here. It says, the reality is no single party has clear title to the actual lands. Tulane did sell their interest to the city for $20 million, $20 million not yet paid. Does that make any sense to you at all?
No. I mean, almost on all accounts, that's wrong.
All right.
So
I just wanted to put it out there. Look, somebody texted it in. If people think it, soon surface the objection, you know?
This is what happens. And you always give me a lot of time to talk about this because it is a complicated thing to explain to people and there are moving parts. Number one, the council allocated $20 million to Tulane. I think it was at this last meeting, June 26th. So the $20 million has been appropriated to Tulane. We've not only signed the settlement agreement, but we actually filed the ordinance that appropriates the money. And as far as I'm aware, the mayor hasn't vetoed that. So the money has been taken care of. And then number two, the ownership of the entire corpus, the court has ruled belongs to the city. So that texter may have their facts confused. They may not understand. I don't know the circumstances.
I just wanted to address it. So let me take a break. We're going to pick it up when we come back because, correct me if I'm wrong, Mayor Landrieu passively let the trust continue. Mayor Cantrell actively continued the trust. And now, even though she's lost in court, she continues to take the opposite side and side with the heirs and against the city. Is that accurate, Joe?
You got it.
All right, we'll pick it up there. We'll come back. 7:21 traffic now, WWL. All right, 7:25 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member, talking about this Wisner Trust. And before we went to the break, I mentioned that now Mayor Cantrell is siding with the heirs, even though the city won in court. I have no earthly idea what's going on here. Joe, do you?
No, we can't figure it out, Tommy. And I think the piece that puzzles us the most is, remember, at the beginning of the year, the administration says we were in the middle of a financial crisis. Then they backed off of that and said there's no financial crisis. But by the way, we've accrued $70 million in overtime, and we'll figure out a way to pay it. And has also repeatedly told the council that unless the revenue stream exists to pay for something, that we really shouldn't do the next thing without a requisite source of money. And look, Tommy, the trust has generated about the last few years between $7 and $10 million per year. Think about it this way. If the city got 35% of that $7 million, it gets about $2.5 million. Mm-hmm. If it got 60%, now that we're going to get LSU and Tulane shares, it gets about $4.2 million. And then obviously, if we got the 100%, we get the full $7 every single year. And I will say this, I understand potentially the administration not wanting to join arms with the council to see about the ratification agreement and its viability. But once the district court has ruled that the agreement was null and void, and it can be appealed, I get that, but it just seems like that's the point where you say, hey, this is really in the best interest of the city, and we need to be putting the residents' interest first.
So you said 60%. Who's getting the other 40?
The heirs.
All right, and they're still fighting this, but they've lost already, have they not?
Well, they've appealed now, or in the process of appealing the ownership issue, which is their right to do.
Sure.
And then, as I said, we've got a summary judgment filed on whether or not they should have gotten the revenue sharing from 2014 through 2025, I guess. So, you know, it just seems to us, and I've said this before, that given where we were with the trust ruling back in 2014 and just the way the documents are and other prior rulings, the council has the better side of this, but they're going to appeal, and that's their right to do so.
Right, let me read from Ben Meyer's article here at NOLA.com. Tulane is surrendering its interest in the Wisner land in exchange for a $20 million bond appropriation for its charity hospital redevelopment project. What does that mean?
That means the city and the council always wanted to do the charity project, and we had penciled in $20 million to do charity to help get that off the ground. That goes back to what I was saying before. It was hard for us, though, to appropriate $20 million for Tulane's charity project if they were fighting with us about Wisner. So we really wanted to make sure Wisner got settled up before we appropriated the $20
million. So it wasn't a quid pro quo as much as a let's end this legal proceeding so we can move forward with this business transaction?
Yeah, I mean, it was we wanted to do this economic deal for a long time. And candidly, we've wanted to settle with Tulane and LSU. And if the heirs want to settle on reasonable terms, that's what we want, too. We don't want to have to fight this all the way through. But I think the issue, Tommy, became charity became more acute for Tulane, that it became something that was really extraordinarily important to them and timing was of the essence for them. And that has a tendency to focus people's minds. And so, again, until we had gotten the Wisner part settled, it would have been difficult for us to really operate in a business partnership.
There is no indication, no evidence at all that the mayor is getting any of this money from the Wisner heirs, correct?
No, I know there is not. And look, I know that might be speculation, but I mean, I think we should just move past all of that.
That's why I want to keep it factual and say there is no evidence, no none of that. For people that are texting this stuff in, thinking it, there's none of that. I think it's more about she's hard-headed, but we'll see. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Have a good week.
You too. Take care.
Stay cool. Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. We'll come back. We'll talk to Mark Rosa, Vice President of Economics for Keesler Federal Credit Union. Take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. Monday morning markets with Mark. Right now, 7:30, time for WWL First News. 7:43, 17 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Monday morning. Time to take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. Monday morning markets with Mark Rosa, Vice President of Economics for Keesler Federal Credit Union. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Tommy, good morning. How you doing?
I'm okay,
how was the
sir.
Weekend?
It was hot. Miserably hot.
A little too much for me.
Totally just miserably crazy, just stupid
crazy.
Hot.
I know it.
But it gets that way every
Agreed.
Year, and it's just, is what are you going to
well,
do,
it,
you know? And I heard Peyton Malone, that's the last name, Tim? Peyton Malone, yeah. WWL weather expert saying copy and paste forecast for the rest of the week. Nice try, Peyton. It's copy and paste until October, my friend. Unless there's
agreed. 90 days.
Yeah, unless there's tropical weather, which we don't want anyway. Tell me what's going on with Wall Street.
You know, Tom, last week we had an abbreviated week, and everybody was kind of sitting at the edge of their chair looking for the employment report that was going to be out Friday. Well, Friday, the holiday, pushed it into Thursday. And the June jobs report, and just for everybody's knowledge, the Labor Department puts out numbers for at the first Friday of the next month for the previous month. So the fourth would have been the day, but they didn't. They put it out on the third. Anyway, it's a big ticket item. It only comes out once a month, as I just mentioned. And Wall Street tends to, you know, sit at the end of their seat, especially now, wondering what the jobs landscape is looking like. So the previous month in May, 144,000 new jobs are created. That was a decent number. But as I had mentioned then, we're getting used to these numbers that start with a 100 and so many thousands. A good number would start with a 2 and let it be a high 2 or even a 3, 300,000 new jobs in a month. We've not gotten that for a long time. And in fact, some analysts are saying, you know, the jobs numbers have been kind of weak because of what I just said. And some people are saying, which I think they bit off too much, they're saying we entered a recession last October. But it goes to show, I don't think that, and I don't think many people think that. I think some people step out on a ledge and say, well, you know, I'm ready to make a prediction, and it just doesn't have the other evidence surrounding it. But I see where they were coming from to say, well, you know, the labor market is much weaker than people would think, or much weaker than Wall Street would think. But we got used to these numbers starting with a 1 every month. And then that's kind of, you know, fast forward to today, and 110,000, all the economists got together, 110,000 was the expected number. Now, keep in mind, the previous number was 144, and that's weak. And 110 is even weaker. So it came out basically at the same as May. Right at 147. Well, the market went crazy. Everybody was, you know, high-fiving, and this is a wonderful number. Well, I guess it is based on the 110. But you peel back the curtain a little bit, and the 147 just isn't as good as people might have thought. You know, half of the new jobs are created by state and local governments. Private sectors only added about 74,000 jobs in a month. And it was the smallest increase in 8 months. So we've got to watch this very closely, because the people, when they're talking or mentioning, you know, some recession type conditions, or we're going to fall into one like many countries in the rest of the world are in recession already. So what's going to happen to us? And, you know, it tends to be economically damaging. Imagine that, when we fall into a recession. So these numbers are just, you know, heavily watched from month to month. So, okay, so the companion statistic that goes along with this announcement is the unemployment rate. Okay, so in May it was 4.2. It was expected because of some weakness, even if the 110 were the number that was coming out. So the economist said, you know what, we think the unemployment rate is going to tick up. It's finally gotten down to the point where there's not enough jobs maybe to replace the people that are retiring, all the things happening in the economy. So the unemployment rate is going to tick up to 4.3. Well, it proved that prediction wrong, and it actually went down a tenth of a percent. So unemployment from 4.2%, which is, for a country our size, that is a low number. That's the old days when economists used to say a 5% was, quote, full employment. That's about as best as the number could get. Well, that's been eclipsed for many years, much according to, you know, technology that's gotten into our country or every place else. So the 4.2 went down to 4.1. Well, some people started digging in that, and it turns out that, you know, companies aren't, they don't seem to be hiring, and they don't seem to be laying off. And I think there's been enough possible confusion, or just for the average firm, they're saying, well, you know, I don't delve into this stuff all the time. We hear all these things about the tariffs and what that's going to do to the economy, what that could potentially do to the economy, how long are the tariffs going to stay on, and what is it going to mean to me? What is it going to mean to, you know, I run a string of car washes, or I work for a grocery? What is that going to mean to me when these tariffs are coming on? And, you know, how much am I going to have to brace for? So I'm not interested in replacing a lot of staff or reducing the size of my staff. So the combination of which, people tend to be keeping the number of staff. They're not increasing, not decreasing. Where does the 4.1 come from? Well, many people have left the labor market. You know, people retire every day, and the population is not growing like, you know, our fertility rate is about 1.5, so that tends to replace itself a little bit more slowly than it was many years ago. So even though we're saying the job numbers were better than expected, something to be glad about, and then the unemployment rate fell, it just had some news in the background, Tommy, that the numbers, while good on the surface, they aren't as much to cheer about when you kind of delve into the details and look into some of the ingredients there. So another thing that I pulled up on the Fed's website, so anybody that wants to ever look at a lot of statistics and a lot of graphs and fancy things, you go to the stlouisfed.org, and they are the Fed branch in the country that keeps up all the statistics for all of the Federal Reserve. So there's something called the quit rate, Q-U-I-T, and people tend to quit their jobs when their times are wonderful, and you know you can quit your job and feel confident about it and walk across the street and get another job and maybe even a better job, one that pays more, it's got better benefits. And remember, we were seeing a lot of that right after COVID because everybody had gone out of work. There was a lot of benefits being circulated by the government. And you remember where people were quitting very, very routinely. You know, they'd go and file applications with 10 different businesses, get hired at 7 of them and not show up to work except for the one of them. So that was kind of a tumultuous time. The quit rate was very high because there was so much demand on labor, so few labor out there that people thought that was a good idea, just quit the jobs. Well, now it's fallen precipitously. So it kind of the people's psychology is being reflected in that statistic that people are not, they're not doing that. They're not saying, well, oh yeah, I could, you know, get a lot of hubris with yourself and say, oh, I could quit this job, walk across the street and do even better than where I am. So the combination of which I think does a good job in telling where the labor numbers are in the United States. And it's kind of fragile right now. And that's where I think, you know, there was so much that had gone into Wall Street, hitting new highs on the S&P, hitting new highs on the NASDAQ. And there was a lot of that enthusiasm going in there. And I guess it's because, one, the big, beautiful bill has passed. Whether we like the ingredients or not, I think Wall Street was just relieved that it's off the table and that we can start working on the contents. But the other part is that the labor pool is sitting fairly stagnant right now, and people are wondering about what tomorrow is going to bring to the jobs that they have.
Mark, one final word about 401ks and for the rest of the year?
Oh, well, again, Tommy, I think there was more enthusiasm about the big, beautiful bill getting passed than it being defeated. So I think that's where the market averages have gone to levels where they are now. And I was going over with Dave where, you know, talk about 401ks. We were saying Friday that year to date, the Dow is up over 5%. And year over year, within 1 year, it's up 14%. There's nothing to sneeze at. So the market has treated people decently. So if you're looking at your 401k and it approximates the Dow, then you're up double digits again for this year. And the S&P is up even higher, about 7% year to date and about 13%, a little over 13% over the year. So what's going to happen going forward? I think that that the conditions here are much better than most every other place in the world. And if some of all of what's going on, meaning the bill is passed, that was a big deal for the administration, for the Congress, and I think now some of those tariffs are going to come off. We've already seen with Canada recently, they will say, okay, you know, we'll make a deal that the United States wanted. And I think that's what's going to happen amongst the others that we're waiting on answers from, if there are many left. But I think the markets under the circumstance could go higher. And it won't be this week, it'll be next week. But just to add in, we're going to have inflation numbers coming out again. So the CPI and PPI, they're scheduled to come in at 0.1% increases. So I think, Tommy, as far as inflation, I wish that it would retrace a little bit. Instead of just going up by these very small numbers, but that's good news, so that the prices aren't rising like they were a couple of years ago. But I'd love some negative numbers here, meaning that, you know, especially if energy goes down, I've been saying that's going to have a potential effect on lowering prices in other areas, maybe food and other things that, you know, everything depends on energy. Mm-hmm. But I think over the next couple of weeks, we're not seeing news that's going to be upsetting to Wall Street. So looking for a decent short term here.
Valuable information as always. Thank you, Mark Rosa. We'll take a break. Come back. 7:54 traffic now, WWL.